Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we always welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we're hoping very, very soon to have with us Craig Wynn. And Craig is a fascinating individual. He's, of course, made a fortune in the stock market and the brokerage business. And then he took it upon himself to begin looking into the background of Islam. He spent 10,000 hours researching the basic texts of the Islamic faith. And this is not simply the Quran, it's the Hadith and the Sirah, and I can't give you all of them. There are about four different publications, all written within a couple of 100 years of Muhammad's death, that give you the entire story of the Muslim religion, who Muhammad really was, and the fact that he himself felt that he was satanically possessed. And it is because that Muhammad had written about that that Salman Rushdie wrote a book entitled Satanic Verse. And because Salman Rushdie had the audacity to write a book about the fact that Muhammad had said he was satanically possessed, there's a contract on his life. Because the Muslim religion is a very violent religion, and they simply kill people who disagree with them. If you are a Muslim living in a Muslim country and you convert to Christianity, you will be killed. This is the reality of what's really going on. And yet you are not allowed to have a Bible or a Christian church service in a Muslim country like Saudi Arabia, and yet they come here to the United States, the Saudis do, and they build the mosques, and they train the imams or the clerics there in this radical form of violent religion, because the Wahhabi religion, which is the basis of the Saudi faith, is violent. It goes back to the real teachings of the Prophet. Fortunately, most Muslims do not embrace this faith, but increasingly larger numbers are coming to accept that maybe they need to return to the faith of their founding fathers, the fathers of their religion. And of course, if they do, as they do that, why we go into an increasingly violent world, because this is a religion built upon violence and deception and torture and slavery, and all of these things are acceptable to the Muslim faith. Craig Wynn, are you there?
I sure am. It's not only they are acceptable to the Muslim faith, they endorse them.
All right, fine. Well, you have written a wonderful book. It's called Prophet of Doom. It's almost 1,000 pages, and the last couple of hundred pages is an appendix. Why don't you explain to our listeners what's in that appendix? Because you could, really, that appendix would stand on its own as a book with information every American needs today to understand what is happening over in Iraq and throughout the world.
It's true. There are three different types of contexts, Dr. Stan, as you know, and so in the book itself, in the first 800 pages, I arrange everything that is of a consequence as it relates to Islamic scriptures, Hadith and Quran, in the context of chronology, place and time, as well as in the context of adjacency, adjacent verses next to one another. But there is another form of context which is equally important, and that's the context of topic. So at the end of the book, I have a 200-page appendix that takes the 3,000 most important Islamic quotes and arranges them by subject.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with our guest, Craig Wynn. We're going to be talking about his book, A Prophet of Doom. And it is truly an encyclopedia, but it has the information that you need to understand what's really going on in the world today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Craig Wynn, who's written a book called The Prophet of Doom. And Craig spent 10,000 hours putting together this information, which takes the sayings of the Quran and is the Hadith. And what are the other two books that are there?
The Sirah and the Takrith. The Sirah is the first book written about Muhammad. It's the only book written about Muhammad within 200 years of his death. It's the closest things Muslims have to Gospels. And the next most important is the Takrith, which is from Islam's first and most revered scholar. His name was Al-Tabari. And he collected hadith that depict everything in Islam from Muhammad's presentation of creation, which is quite a hoot, to the acts of Muhammad's companions, which are vile and disgusting. Those two collections of hadith, which are chronological, plus the two hadith collections that are topical, those would be by Bukhari and Muslim, are combined with the Quran to present what is probably the most comprehensive arrangement of Islamic scriptures ever put into a single volume.
And when the President of the United States says that Islam is a religion of peace, is this really true?
Well, not only is that a lie, Dr. Stan, the consequence of that lie is egregious. And it's the consequence of the lie is overwhelming for lots of reasons. First of all, there is no peace in Islam. Peace in Islam, in the Quran and the Hadith, is defined exactly as Adolf Hitler defined peace in Mein Kampf. He says, the world will be at peace when I have conquered and rule over all of it. Peace in Islam is submission to them. It is a never-ending war. It says, Muslims must fight and kill non-Muslims until there are no more non-Muslims left on the planet. Now, the reason that is such an egregious lie to say Islam is a religion of peace is that we only have two viable weapons to defend ourselves against Islam. And one of those is to expose it, to speak truthfully and honestly about it, to repudiate it. So when our president lies to us about it, he shoots us in the foot with the single most effective weapon we have to keep them from killing us. And second, the reason it is so egregious is that 650 American boys, the finest we have to offer, have bled and died in Iraq based upon his misunderstanding of who this enemy is and why they kill. And that just tears my heart out.
And when we see what happened recently when their four Americans were burned, and then they simply tore their bodies apart and hung them from a bridge, and you say, why would rational people do something like that? And we have to answer, because we're not dealing with rational people. Those who embrace the full text of the religion are not rational. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Craig Wynn. We're talking about his book, The Prophet of Doom. And Craig was just saying that when the president has said that Islam is a religion of peace, he really doesn't understand what we are up against as this radical form of Islam, which was really not a major problem until about over 20 years ago. And, of course, it all came about because of our bringing Ayatollah Khomeini to power in Iran, because of our financing of the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, and actually distributing Qurans, printing Qurans, encouraging this radical form of Islam, even providing textbooks for the children, promoting this radical form of Islam. Why would you give that to the children unless you were trying to create the best enemy money could buy? But be that as it may, we have a real problem in the world today, because I think there's a growing militancy within the Muslim religion that has not been there for 50 or 75 years. Would that be a fair statement?
You know, Dr. Stan, I love you, and I have a lot of respect for you, but you said one thing that is untrue, and I'd like to respectfully correct it.
Okay, go
and
ahead.
And then I would like to add one thing to your list.
Okay, go ahead.
It is not radical Islam. It is fundamental Islam.
Correct.
And that difference is of unbelievable consequence. The Islam of Muhammad is a declaration of war against all humankind. Muhammad was a terrorist. He was a sexual pervert. This guy founded his religion and funded it based on the slave trade. There has probably been no character in all of human history that is as despicable, as evil, as violent as was Muhammad. And therefore, Islam can be no different than its lone prophet. He was the only one who allegedly heard God speak, Allah, his God, his pretend God, and therefore the Quran we take completely on his word. And everything in the Islamic scripture, from Islamic law to Islamic ritual to the very Quran itself, is solely based on this disgusting human being that is present, that is presented in the Islamic scriptures, known as Muhammad. And I'm not exaggerating. I challenge anyone to read Prophet of Doom and come to any conclusion other than Muhammad was a more vile character and a more vicious character than Adolf Hitler. The second thing is, the reason that fundamental Islam is now a terrorist dogma plaguing all of humankind is because we send $1 billion a day to them. In the 1960s, they stole American oil facilities, starting in Libya and going throughout all of the Islamic world. And the thugs that run these countries, and they are thugs, we may call them princes, they're thugs. The thugs that run these countries use that money, $1 billion a day, to tyrannize their own people. And because those people live in tyranny, they are indoctrinated and taught to hate us. They're inspired to create acts of jihad against us. They're equipped to kill us. And the reason Islam has reared its ugly head around the world is principally because we transfer $1 billion a day to feed this beast.
One of the things that really disturbs me deeply is the fact that we are allowing these people to come into our prisons and to indoctrinate, and many of the black prisoners there who obviously are incarcerated, many of them I'm sure have a feeling of bitterness, and they're actually promoting hatred of the white, and this is being allowed in our prisons in the name of promoting freedom of religion. Now, you couldn't go into a Muslim country and do that sort of thing, but this is all being financed by our good friends, the Saudis.
The Saudis fund 80% of the mosques in America, and those mosques in America have a very clear definition of jihad. It's printed in every Quran. It says that jihad is holy war against all non-Muslims, that it's an obligatory duty on all Muslims, that any Muslim who dies without committing acts of jihad dies as a hypocrite, which means they will roast in hell. And it defines jihad as war using all of the implements of war against all non-Muslims. You know, the Quran is such a blatant declaration of war against all non-Muslims, ordering Muslims to commit acts of terror and mass murder. I can't imagine why any sane nation would allow the presence of a doctrine that promotes the murder and mutilation of people to exist in its midst. It does not have any constitutional protections. We don't tolerate anything that inspires mass murder. That's what the Quran does. We as a nation not only need to get Islam out of our prisons, we must repudiate Islam and get it out of America. If we tolerate it in America, the consequence will be that millions of Americans will die.
And, of course, this is a real problem over in Europe as well. In France, 10% of the population is Muslim, and they're multiplying rapidly, whereas the French population is dying off. The same thing has happened in Germany, all throughout the center of Europe.
And Great Britain. Yeah, in fact, Europe's already lost. The Bible, Yahweh, who inspired the Bible, the God of the Bible, really smart. He knew exactly what choices we would make around the world as we approach the last days. And therefore, he knew what Islam was going to do to Europe, what ultimately was going to do to America. The first pruning based on Islam was 9/11. We're experiencing a pruning based on Islam because of our failed policy in Iraq today. He knew that out of Europe, because of the great presence of this satanic doctrine Islam, that the Antichrist would emerge and ultimately rule the world. And the first war that Yahweh predicts is going to take place during the tribulation is the Gog from Magog war, which is a war. Gog is the leader of Iran, the leader of Islam, that he's going to perpetrate against Israel. And he says that nuclear and biological weapons are going to be used and that one quarter of the Earth's population is going to die. So we're going to lose 1,500,000,000 people, Dr. Stan, according to the Bible. And thus far, Yahweh hasn't gotten a single prophecy wrong, so I wouldn't bet against him. He says that our choices of tolerating this evil in our midst is going to lead to the deaths of 1.5 billion people. This is of unbelievable consequence.
And that's, of course, I believe, Revelation 6:8, where I look and I saw the see and behold a pale horse, and of course he has the power in to kill a quarter of the population of the world. So that would be about 1.5 billion people. Is that what you're referring to?
Right. You know, to put together the prophecies of the end times, you have to combine what Daniel said, what Isaiah said, what Ezekiel said, and what is said in Revelation, and the Gog Magog war is talked about in many of those places, announced by name in Ezekiel, and Yahweh actually says that five out of every six of the assailants, which will be Muslims, are going to die. That means in that war, 1 billion Muslims are going to perish, 500 million infidels.
And the great tragedy of today is that the average American has no idea what's going on, and they certainly don't understand that everything we are doing is inflaming the Muslims throughout the world.
Right. We should be saving them as opposed to inflaming them, and we cannot save them with bullets and bombs. And we can't spare ourselves from the terror it inspires by dropping bombs on them. Bombing a mosque in Iraq, which we did today, killing 60 civilians, is not going to save us from Islamic terror. We can only do this by using the two weapons we have at our disposal. One of them is truth, and the other is to recognize that Islam cannot perpetrate tyranny on its own people, nor indoctrinate them to terrorize us if we stop sending $1 billion a day to them.
Well, I think that we're going to have to recognize that we got real problems. We're financing the Saudis, who are really behind so much of the terrorist movement throughout the world, between the Saudis and the Pakistanis, both of them are under the control of radical Islam. I should say fundamental Islam. And, you know, we are financing the best enemies money could buy, and nobody wants to speak out.
Yeah, we financed the Egyptians to get them to go along with the first Gulf War and be a country that was part of the coalition. The first George Bush forgave $30 billion in debt, of which Egypt used to buy weaponry so that they could attack Israel.
Well, now, when you were over in Palestine talking to the Palestinians, you found out that we were actually were training some of the Palestinians and some of the Palestinian terrorist groups?
Yeah, but then again, I don't use those terms, because the last Palestinian was killed in 585 B.C. by the Assyrians and the Babylonians, so the very name Palestinian is a marketing myth.
All right, well, call it what you will.
Okay. The people that refer to themselves as Palestinians, and reason, by the way, that's important, is that by taking the name Palestinian on themselves, even though those were a seafaring people, probably Greeks, that were killed by the Assyrians and the Babylonians 2,600 years ago, they give the impression that the land is theirs and that somehow the Jews have stole it from them, and that's just not true. The people that call themselves Palestinians are just Arabs. They're Muslim Arabs. But it is true that are at a state of eternal war against the Jews. I have met not only with so-called Palestinian terrorists from Fatah, which is Yasser Arafat's personal political party, and the Aska Martyrs Brigade, but also Islamic Jihad, Hamas, which is principally made up and funded by the Iranians, and also Al-Qaeda. The Al-Qaeda member that I met was a direct report to Osama bin Laden, worked and trained with Osama bin Laden in the Sudan. The Sudan, if Americans want to know the consequence of tolerating Islam, the most fundamental Islamic nation in the world is the Sudan. They have killed 3 million Christians in the last 20 years, butchered them, mutilated them. The same kind of treatment that we saw of the four Americans in Fallujah is what happens every day, hundreds of times a day in the Sudan. And yes, I asked them, why are you killing us? And they told me, Islam.
And but
their
the other
God and their prophet ordered them to kill us.
But the other thing is, weren't many of them trained by Americans, and weren't of their weapons had been given them by our own government?
Yes, the first set of terrorists I met with were direct reports to Yasser Arafat. They had killed 11 Jewish women and children 24 hours before my meeting. They had killed them with M16s provided by the Clinton administration. They were trained by our CIA in Virginia. They were very proud of their deed at how they had used American weapons and American bullets to blow off the heads of Jewish women and children.
Hold that thought there just a moment. We'll be right back here after this interruption with our special guest today, Craig Wynn. You'll want to get his book, Prophet of Doom.
the Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who are actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tieri. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I want to mention that on Memorial Day weekend, that's May 29th and May 30th, there's going to be a meeting. It's going to be over in Santa Clara at the Thereby Great American, and it's going to be all day Saturday, all Sunday. It's called the Conspiracy Conference. I spoke at it last year. I won't be speaking this year, but I will have a booth. There are going to be a lot of good speakers there. There are going to be people from all parts of the political spectrum, some I might disagree with, but certainly Joyce Riley is going to be there, and Rodney Stitch is going to be there, and Len Horowitz is going to be there, and there's a great cast of speakers, and you really need to understand that there is a conspiracy, and everybody's going to give their view of how it fits together. Now, if you'd like more information on this, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999, or go to their website at www.conspiracycon.com. ConspiracyCon. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Craig Wynn, and we're talking about how the American government and the CIA were financing the fundamentalist Muslims there, the people associated with the terrorist groups that work with Arafat, as well as our government is financing the Israelis. It almost seems like we're financing both sides in what's going on over there. And we're financing Saudi Arabia and Pakistan, who are financing the terrorists who are creating the problems throughout the world today. Well, let's go to John, who's calling us from Tennessee. John, did you have a question or comment?
Yes. I don't know if you brought this up, but 120 U.S. troops died today in Iraq, as reported by Sky TV in London and Alex Jones here in America.
Well, I haven't heard that. We'll just have to wait and see. Thanks so very much, John. And I hope that
isn't true. Dr. Stan, I mean, You know, we were losing an average of 4 to 5 men a day here recently, and for a couple of days we lost as many as a dozen. If we lost 120 men today in this failed exercise, that is a egregious crime.
Well, I don't believe everything I hear on the radio, so we're going to have to check that out.
Let's hope that's not true.
Let's hope and pray that is not true. But
you know, the fact of the matter is, we have no chance to prevail in Iraq. It's a no-win scenario. It's just like Vietnam. In Vietnam, we tried to negotiate peace with honor with people who had no intention whatsoever to honor it. And the moment we left, it was as if we had never been there, and the South was overrun by communists, and that means that 58,000 Americans died for nothing. And that is a terrible crime. In Iraq, we cannot establish democracy. The moment we leave, the Shiites will take control of that country. It will be a Shiite theocracy, and we will have a government that will be as hostile to America as the government in Tehran, and there will be a continuing war, a civil war, between the Sunnis and the Shiites. Why are we there?
Well, that's an entirely different question. My latest newsletter really, I think, gives you the answer to that. But are you on my mailing list, Greg?
I am not, but I would love to be.
You will be.
I have great respect for you and what you have to say.
Well, God bless you. We will get that. You will be on the mailing list as of this evening, and you'll get a copy of our latest newsletter, which tells actually what happened at the secret meetings in the cabinet in January and February of the year 2001, 8 to 9 months before the attack. And, of course, Paul O'Neill was there. He tells this in his latest book, The Price of Loyalty. It's rather shocking that everybody talks about all the things O'Neill talks about, but never mentions the most important facts that are laid out, and you'll find them in my newsletter. But let's get back.
I think that just so that we're because that this is so important. When Americans are dying, you know, whether Americans are dying by the dozens or the tens of dozens in Iraq, America needs to know that we went into Iraq based on a lie for the personal political benefit of one man. And when you are in a no-win scenario for the political benefit of one man and Americans are dying, that is an inexcusable scenario. And it only occurs because good Americans are ignorant of the truth about Islam, this enemy that has declared war on us so our politicians can deceive us.
Well, you know, the most shocking thing I would think that most Americans would realize that the president claims he was just given bad information. If he's given bad information, why doesn't he fire the people who gave him bad information? Have you noticed that nobody was fired after he got bad information?
Because it's not true. He wasn't given bad information. Listen, Tenet, director of the CIA, gave an open briefing to the U.S. Senate about 2 months before this president allegedly made his decision to invade. In that briefing, he said that there is absolutely no indication whatsoever that Saddam Hussein is developing nuclear bombs, that the threat from fission bombs is from Iran, not from Iraq. He also said that Iraq is not a clear and present danger to America, which, by the way, is the only validation in the world for us using our troops in a war, if he was a clear and present danger to America. And Tenet, the head of the CIA, said he is not a clear and present danger. In fact, there is no likelihood whatsoever that he would give any weapons of mass destruction to anyone who would use them in America, because he would know that to do so, he would lose the only thing he cares about, which is his own life.
And
he was not given bad information. He made a bad decision based upon good information, and that's why we are there.
All right, well, we're going to be back in just a few minutes with Craig Wynn, and we're talking about his book, Prophet of Doom, which is truly an encyclopedic analysis of what's going on as far as the Muslim religion is concerned. You need to understand that the God of the Muslim is not the God of the Christian and the Jew. And it doesn't matter what the president says, doesn't matter what anybody says, they worship a different God. They worship the moon God. You'll see them on their flags. So why are they lying to us?
book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background to this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to tell you a little bit about the Berkey water filters, which we carry. There's the big Berkey. It's made out of stainless steel. It filters about 2.5 gallons of water at a time. Water goes in the top. You pour it in. It goes through ceramic filters packed with activated carbon, comes out the bottom, tastes great, and, of course, it'll take out most of the pesticides and herbicides and bacteria. And so you can actually take pool water or pond water or river water or lake water, and you can run it through there, and it's potable, and these are used throughout the world, and we recommend them too. It's been standard with missionaries for 150 years. Now, the price on the Big Berkey has recently gone up to $279. We have no control over that, but that's just the way that it is. These are available in every state in the union except for California and Iowa. However, the Berkey light is available in California. It's made of Lexan, so it's clear, so you can actually see the water level, and that's what we have. It's sort of nice to know where the water is and how much there's in the lower chamber and how much is in the upper chamber. The filters are called the Black Berkey filters, and they really do a much better job than the traditional ceramic filters, but they have to be replaced every 2 to 3 years, depending upon how much they're used. Now, this is $199. Whether you get the Berkey light or whether you get the Big Berkey, why, if you buy them through us, you'll get a 4-tape set or a video we produced. And if you'd like to get pictures of them, they're available at our website at radioliberty.com. Now, remember, the Big Berkey is now $279. The Berkey light is $199. And you can find them at radioliberty.com. Or give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. I wouldn't be without having one of these. The water tastes great. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Craig Wynn. We're talking about his book, The Prophet of Doom. So let's get a little into the background of this whole idea that Muhammad was frightened to death after his first encounter with the demons, that he himself was demonically possessed. And this is all laid out in the Quran, isn't it?
Well, the first revelation to Muhammad only shows up in the first 5 or 6 verses of the 96th surah, and it's principally gibberish. It basically says that God taught man what he did not know by use of the pen. So why in the world is he talking to an illiterate Arab? In fact, Arabic, the written form of Arabic, didn't even exist in Mecca when this thing was allegedly revealed to a man who the Quran says was illiterate. The story of what happened to Muhammad in his first spiritual encounter is presented in the Islamic Hadith. You'll find it in the Sirah from Ishaq, in the Takrith from Tabati, and in both of the topical assemblages of Hadith, Bukhari, and Muslim. What they say is, and this is now Islamic scripture, that Muhammad went to a cave during the pagan festival of Ramadan to perform the fasting exercises that were part of his great-great-great-grandfather's religious scam. While he was there, he was attacked by a spirit. According to all of these hadith, the spirit was so brutal, it beat him to the point where he was near death. Muhammad said that he escaped from this cave and this spirit and was so afraid of what had happened to him. The first thing he did, because he thought he had been demon-possessed, was to try to commit suicide. Unfortunately, the weasel didn't have the courage even to escape life and leave us alone. He didn't commit suicide. He ran home to his 60-year-old employer, wife, and told her, something terrible has happened to me. I fear for my life. I have been possessed. And that is how the first revelation of Islam begins, according to Islam. And it gets worse from there.
Now, what about Salman Rushdie? Where did he get into problems?
Okay, Salman Rushdie wrote a book called Satanic Verses. And it is about an episode in Muhammad's life that is confirmed both in the Quran and throughout the Islamic Hadith. The Quraysh, Muhammad's tribe, in the little bitty town of Mecca, offered Muhammad the three things he craved most. They had nothing to do with religion. They were sex, power, and money. All detailed in the Islamic Hadith. You can read them if you go to Prophet of Doom. This is all chronicled in the Satanic Bargain chapter. Muhammad accepted the bribe, which for getting sex, power, and money, he had to acknowledge the Meccan gods, who were Alat, Manat, and Al-Uzza. At the time, he was, and all the Quran surahs up to that point, had been in reference to Ar-Rahman, which was the Persian devil. So he agrees that they're all goddesses. Everybody in Mecca is all happy. Everybody now is all reconciled together, and Muhammad's prostrating himself to the Kaaba, to these four gods and goddesses. Then sometime later, we don't know quite how long later, he decides, you know, I can't start a monotheistic religion based upon having four gods, so I'd better recount what I had said was in the Quran. So he says that Satan was the one that revealed those Quran verses. Then he says that the Quran says that all of Allah's messengers recite verses from Satan. And so Salman Rushdie wrote about that episode that is confirmed in the Quran and in the Islamic Hadith. And because Islam cannot tolerate the truth, because to expose Islam is to destroy Islam's ability to tyrannize its own people and to terrorize us, the Ayatollah Khomeini put a $2 million death sentence on Salman Rushdie's head for telling the truth about Islam.
And so anybody who can kill Salman Rushdie will get $2 million, is that it?
Correct. That is correct, because he had the courage to tell the truth about what the Quran and the Hadith actually say, that Muhammad admitted that he spoke on behalf of Satan and that he accepted a bribe for sex, power, and money.
Now, there is if you go into the background of the Nazi movement, you find a strong occult overtones. You go into the background of the Mohammedan religion, you find very strong overtones. Wasn't there an alliance between the Muslim leaders and Adolf Hitler during the Second World War?
Oh, the Mein Kampf reads like it was plagiarized right out of the Quran. Hitler had many contacts who were Islamic. He praises Islam throughout the Quran. The god of Mein Kampf, and understand, Mein Kampf is a religion. The single most prevalent theme in Mein Kampf is not hatred of Jews, but the establishment of Hitler's religion. That religion is inseparable from Islam. Its deity, which he calls fate, is identical to the deity in the Quran, which is Allah. I took in Prophet of Doom and dedicated 70 pages of the book to setting Mein Kampf, Hitler's terrorist manifesto, word for word, line for line, directly beside the identical quotes in the Quran and Islamic Hadith. Mein Kampf and Islam are indistinguishable. Now that should send a chill up everyone's spine, because our tolerance of the evil of Mein Kampf, for 15 years, Hitler wrote it in 1924, he perpetrated World War II doing exactly what he said he was going to do in 1939. So for 15 years, our ignorance and tolerance of Mein Kampf led directly to the death of 55 million people. If we continue to fund Islam at $1 billion a day and continue to ignore the fact that it is identical to Mein Kampf, far more people are going to die than 55 million, because today we have much more powerful weapons.
And I think everybody listening to this program should realize, why are they blocking a development of the North Slope or exploration of so much of the area up around Alaska, where there probably is a great deal of oil exploration off of our shores? Even many of the oil wells here in the United States are limited in use. They block the use of nuclear energy, so they would be forced to be dependent upon oil and natural gas. What we've done is an organized effort to make us dependent upon the Arab oil.
It is an organized effort, too. I am not a conspiracy buff, but I want to tell you that once you begin to study Islam and our dependence on oil and our willingness to send $1 billion a day to these Islamic thugs who tyrannize their people and manufacture the terrorists who kill us, and we don't develop our own reserves, either in the Gulf of Mexico or in the North Slope, you become aware that there are people who have an agenda, and that agenda requires the destruction of the United States.
Well, I fear that you're absolutely right. The average American doesn't want to think about that sort of thing. But they're going to have to. They're going to have to face it now or face it later. And the old adage that you can't sell life insurance until you can convince people they're going to die. You can't get people involved in this spiritual battle unless they realize it's going to affect them and their families. And that's why I do what I do.
I don't know nearly as much about these organizations as you do, so I'm just telling you it becomes obvious to me what they're trying to do when you study the consequence of Islam and the biblical prophecies. But what I do know is Islam. I know it better than any American. Fundamental Islam, the Islam of Muhammad, and I'm telling you what you know, but your listeners need to know, that if we don't come to understand the motivation of those who celebrate the murder and mutilation of others, that perpetrate deeds as heinous as 9/11 and then dance in the street after they do it, if we don't come to understand that dogma and repudiate it, they will kill millions of us.
And what you point out in your book is that they actually talk about burning their adversaries and torturing their adversaries.
Yes.
And
in the Quran.
And mutilating.
In the Quran, the Quran's fifth surah, which is the last one handed down, in the 33rd verse, commands specifically what we saw in Fallujah last week. It orders Muslims to murder non-Muslims, to mutilate non-Muslims, and to burn non-Muslims, as well as to hang them. What are the four things they did in Fallujah? They burned them, they murdered them, they mutilated them, they hung them. They fulfilled Quran 5:33.
And that's why you listeners out there need to get a copy of Prophet of Doom, and we do have a supply of them in. I think it's a very, very important book, especially now as we, of course, get deeper and deeper into this quicksand and this morass of our coming war with the Islamic nations of the world. Now, let's get into some of the other things. You actually get into what happened when Muhammad originally created this whole movement, and he was living in Mecca, wasn't he, at the time?
Yeah, Mecca is a place that has no historic relevance. In fact, not even referenced anywhere in world history prior to 100 years after Muhammad's death. Little town, maybe 5,000 people, all mud huts, not a single roof on any building in town. The Kaaba, which was a pagan shrine, was a rock pile of unhewn stones about 6 feet high, filled with 360 rock idols. That was the milieu that Muhammad was raised in, but unfortunately, for all of human history, Muhammad was abused as a child. The evidence is overwhelming in the Quran. And because he was abused as a child, he sought revenge against his own people. He coveted what little comfort his own people had, which they derived from the religious scam of his great-great-grandfather, Qusay. And that is what inspired Muhammad to say that he was speaking on behalf of Allah and to claim that he was a messenger of their God, because he coveted what I call the Kaaba ink in Mecca.
Well, now, didn't he actually make some sort of a treaty with the people in Mecca for a time and then violate that treaty and come back?
Right. It's the single most important thing that a Westerner, particularly a politician, can know about Islam, and my guess is there's not three Americans in the nation that even can pronounce the name of the treaty. What Muhammad did is that after the satanic verses, he was run out of town. He threatened to slaughter his own people. Then he formed an alliance with some pagans in Yathrib, where it was called the Pledge of Aqaba. They pledged to war on behalf of Muhammad against all mankind. Muhammad, in the next 10 years, begins a terrorist campaign against Mecca. The first of these is the Nakla raid, which is presented in the pedophile pirate chapter of Prophet of Doom. It is a disgusting thing. The next one is a raid that that turned into the raid of the full moon called Badr. Ultimately, Muhammad leads 75 terrorist raids. He pummels his own town into submission. He comes down, though, one day with a force that is insufficient to pound them into ultimate submission. So he uses a treaty at a place called Hudaybiyah to lure his hometown into a false sense of peace. He says that I will promise for the next 10 years that I will not terrorize you for 10 years. I will not make war with you for 10 years. Well, the following year, he came back with 10,000 men under arms. In the Quran, it says that Allah abrogates and renounces all treaties between Muslims and non-Muslims. Allah and Muhammad are not bound by the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Muhammad then tells his men on the outskirts of Mecca. Now, they outnumber the Meccans 3-1. And the Meccans are just merchants. I mean, these are just average people. They don't have an army. They don't even have a police force. And he's got 10,000 men carrying spears and swords and arrows. And he tells them to slaughter anyone who opposes him. They say that all you could hear in Mecca was the groans and moans of people as they separated heads from shoulders and arms from bodies. And he mutilated them. And then when he had thoroughly subdued them, he made all of them submit in homage to him personally. That's the story of the conquest of Mecca. Muhammad said, now with the conquest of Mecca, there is only jihad. When the Muslim leader calls you to jihad, you must go forth immediately.
I think the most difficult thing for the average American to realize is that they think a Muslim who will not go along with jihad is an enemy, and they'll kill him as well.
Well, this is the next most important thing that we can know as a nation about Islam. The last 24 surahs, called the Medina surahs, have two principal themes. One of the themes is, you must fight for me. Allah offers Muslims a bargain. If you die killing infidels for me, I will let you into paradise. The opposite of the Christian gospel, which God became a man, died for our sins, so that we could live forever with him. So it's the exact opposite of Christianity.
In other words, God died for us, and we, and under the Muslim faith, the people are to die for
that,
Muhammad,
that is correct.
For
yeah.
Allah.
That's correct, exactly. I mean, can you imagine being stupid enough to believe that by killing innocent people, you get a direct pass into a drunken brothel, and that you're going to meet God there, and he's going to say, hey, great, I just love the way that you mutilated all of those innocent people. I've got these virgins waiting for you and these rivers that flow from wine. You've got to be an ignoramus to believe that kind of malarkey. But the point is, the Quran says in every one of these 24 surahs that if you are a peaceful Muslim, you are no longer a Muslim. It says that a peaceful and Muslim are oxymorons. That a Muslim who does not leave their home to fight jihad in Allah's cause ceases to be a Muslim. That goes beyond that. It says that a peaceful Muslim is the most vile of creatures, the worst of animals. Goes on beyond that. It tells all good jihadist Muslims to kill. This is what the Quran says. It tells all jihadist Muslims to kill every peaceful Muslim. It gets worse. Then Allah says they are so repulsive. I hate peaceful Muslims so much that I'm going to take them to the hottest places of hell, where I'm personally going to oversee their torture. So you cannot be a peaceful Muslim. There is no such thing as a moderate Muslim. According to the Quran, a peaceful Muslim ceases to be a Muslim. They become what's called a hypocrite, and good jihadist Muslims are ordered to kill them.
And I think that's so very, very difficult for people to understand. I've talked to Muslims who said that this was before they, of course, became Christians. They lived in constant fear of going to hell. They're never secure in their belief. There's no guarantee they're going to go to paradise. And so they spend their whole life in fear of going to hell. It's all based upon fear. But the one way, of course, that you can be sure to go to paradise is to die killing the infidels.
Yeah, that is not even a guarantee. First, the fear thing is extremely important. Fearing Allah, not loving Allah, is repeated several hundred times in the Quran. It's called the single most important commandment in Islam is to fear Allah. So, you know, Christ's commandment, what is the greatest commandment? To love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy might, and like unto that to love thy neighbor as thyself. Not in Islam. Allah only says that he loves good jihadists, and that Muslims are commanded not to love non-Muslims, and they are commanded to fear Allah.
Well, we're in real trouble. We'll be, of course, talking more about this with Craig later. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
Yes, I beg your listeners to please go to prophetofdoom.net. Both books, Prophet of Doom and Tea with Terrorists, are available in their entirety free. Please read them. Please share them. Please write your politicians and your media in your area and beg them to tell the truth about Islam. We can save lives.
God bless you. Thanks so very much. We'll be talking to you very, very shortly again. Bye-bye.
Dr. Stan, I just love you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Our four tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me remind you about Phonopoly. Phonopoly is a board game. You play it like Monopoly, and it's a wonderful means of teaching children or grandchildren or even adults how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically, because phonics is the way that you should be learning to read. Since they set out many years ago to dumb down our children, there's no way they could have done as bad a job as they have unintentionally, any more than there's any way that we could be in the mess we are over in Iraq today, unless there is another force, another reason behind it. It certainly wasn't just faulty intelligence. So they've dumbed down the American children, but you can counter this in about 16 hours with Phonopoly. It's played like Monopoly in many respects. I think you'll really enjoy it. And if you'd like to get a Phonopoly set or learn more about it, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then we want to mention Miracle 2 soap products, which we carry here at Radio Liberty. There's a gel, there is a soap, there is a lotion, there's a moisturizing soap, and there is a neutralizing solution, which is just a very alkaline, heavily mineralized solution. So if you'd like to try these products, we think they're great. I wouldn't be without the moisturizing soap, because it's done away with a rash I had. We get reports from all sorts of people. It helps the rashes that nothing else seems to help, using the gel, using the moisturizing soap. If you'd like to try them, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We're not making any medical claims. We're not going to tell you they'll help. All we could suggest is try, see if they do help. And if you'd like to get the introductory package of the Miracle 2 soap products, call 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. It's as easy to do as calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a free copy of our latest newsletter that explains why we are in Iraq, because it's going to tell you what happened at the secret cabinet meetings in the White House in the early months of the year 2001, January and February, when Paul O'Neill attended those meetings. You'll be shocked at what you read. So if you'd like a free copy of our March newsletter, 1-800-544-8927. Now, I do hope you want to join the Radio Liberty family or at least subscribe to the newsletter. If you can't afford to, go up on our website. The letter will be posted there in a week or two at radioliberty.com. You really need to get a copy of Craig Wynn's excellent book, Prophet of Doom. We have some reduced price copies at $25. It's 1,000 pages, and you will find the information there you need to really understand the Islamic religion. That's The Prophet of Doom by Craig Wynn. And then I want to mention the conspiracy conference that's going to be held over in the Santa Clara on May 29th and 30th, that's Memorial Day weekend, and there's going to be a lot of great speakers there. I'm not going to be speaking, but I am going to have a table. Joyce Riley is going to be there, and Len Horowitz, and Rodney Stitz, and Vance Davis we had on the other day, and a number of people I'm going to have on in these coming weeks are going to be speaking at the Conspiracy Conference. You'll get an opportunity, of course, to get a tremendous amount of exposure to people. Some of you will agree with, some of you won't agree with, but it'll be an exciting time. Call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. Or go to their website at conspiracycon.com. That's conspiracycon.com. And there's information there if you'd like to go. And then I want to mention the Institute of the Constitution, wonderful program to teach you and your friends and the people in your church or your neighborhood or your family about the foundations of our freedom, which is our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our Declaration of Independence, and the Federalist Papers. 12 half-hour lectures by Dr. John Eidsmo, a couple of lectures by David Barton, a book that will tell you the questions to ask after the programs and even gives you the answers to the questions and tells you how to put on an institute. And you can do it over 12 half-hour lectures. You can do it on 2 days on a weekend. But why don't you call 410-760-9068? That's 410-760-9068. And ask about the Institute on the Constitution, because we have to let the American people understand the foundations of our freedom. We've forgotten that liberty and limited government are synonymous, that tyranny and total government are synonymous, and in the name of fighting terrorism, we're giving up our freedom. And the American people don't understand we're not really fighting terrorism in Iraq at all. I mean, we gave up the fight on terrorism. We never even tried to get Osama bin Laden. Well, recently we've been trying to get Osama bin Laden. Why did we wait a couple of years to try to go after him? Did you ever wonder that? Maybe nothing is as it appears to be today. Maybe reality really is scoffed at, and maybe illusion really is king. Well, this is the time where we want to ask our listeners to go to our website at radioliberty.com, pull down our past newsletters, copy them, check out the documentation there. If you need any of the documentation, we'll be glad to get it for you. Encourage others to listen to our radio programs 5 hours a day on the internet, 4 hours a day on shortwave, as we reach out across America trying to educate the American people as to the true nature of the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. And then pray for America, pray for our leaders, pray for revival, because if America doesn't turn back to God, is there any reason God should ever bless this country again? And lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.